Probably a thing.
As long as it's not replacing.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll make that better.
Even if it were, you would have, you'd be in good hands. But no, you're not getting rid of me yet.
We have similar personalities. Yeah, I think so.
You know, your husband was nice to me the last time I met with him. It was hard to understand. I was like, Tom, are you sure? There's nothing else you want to say? We just have to submit a plan?
No, my wife said you're okay, so. Or you caught him on a good day.
There was breakfast that morning.
I'd like to call to order the January 8th, 2025 Newtown Borough Council work session. Please stand and join me to a pledge. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Sorry we're late.
Emily.
Can everyone on Zoom hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Julia, Chris?
They're on mute.
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, thanks. Before we move on, I would like to announce that prior to this work session, Council met an executive session to discuss litigation, which is why we were a few minutes late. Thank you for your patience. Moving on to public to be heard, as a reminder, if you are speaking, please state your name and whether or not you are a borough resident for the record. Do we have any public?
Right here. Paul Salvatore, 148 North Elm Avenue, borough resident and taxpayer. I have a couple questions. Maybe you can answer me. I'm going to tell you I'm very disappointed about the conditions of our street after this last snow. It was left atrocious at the end of the day. And I don't know why, because other than two other times I can remember in the 19 years of being 19 that I lived in this borough, Scott's all seasons has done an excellent job. So I don't know why, maybe you can explain it, because I didn't see snow plows going by because my office looks out on the street. I was there all day. The only thing I saw was a guy salting at 5:15. So can you explain it?
Yeah, so Scott's is only supposed to start if he is requested to do so by the police or if there is an accumulation or expected accumulation of 2 inches or more. Neither of those things happened. They started plowing around 7:45, 8 o'clock. Around 10 o'clock, there was still not a coating on the streets. And so the mayor, myself, and Craig decided that we were going to ask them to stop and then come back at the end of the storm, plow, and salt.
Okay, well, no plowing was done at the end of the storm.
That's what we requested. If that wasn't done.
Okay, because my street was atrocious, so was my neighborhood, and so was Chancellor Street. And as a trustee of Newtown Presbyterian Church, we have a preschool, and I was there on Tuesday. There's ice all over the roads, and there's still a lot of ice on those roads. We have elderly members of the church that come in and out to help, and they've been complaining. And I noticed that on Tuesday, there was somebody plowing, but it wasn't Scott. It was a different company. Is there a reason for that?
Yes, so that company is McElvain, who does our trash and other services for us in town. We got a request from a Chancellor Street resident to plow between Jefferson and Washington, and McElvain's men were already here doing the trash. They had a plow on their truck, and so we asked them to do that one block.
Okay, why didn't they do my block? Because I called. I spoke to our borough manager.
That I
and he asked
answer.
Me where I live, and I told him. I said, my road's atrocious.
That I cannot answer. I don't have an answer for that.
Okay. Can what you get that answer?
What we can do moving forward is to make sure when we request that our contractors, that we request they do something, that it actually gets done.
Okay. And why was a different person doing our lot, too? Because I do notice that there's a lot of ice where the people park.
Because no snow emergency was issued, so parking didn't have to be restricted.
Okay.
And that comes from Chief Forsyth.
Okay.
So there was no snow emergency.
All right. So Scott is still our person?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering when I saw a different person plowing the road.
It was merely coincidence and convenience because they were here. They're one of our contractors, and we had a request, and it was more timely filled by the people already here than someone coming from Easterville.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have any other public to be heard? Okay, moving forward, Michelle.
You have my engineer's report. If anybody has any questions, I can entertain them when I'm done with the two things that are specifically listed under my part of the agenda. The first one is Corton State Street Development. We are recommending approval by council at the regular meeting, certificate of completion number 2 for all a number of improvements within that development. And that escrow release would be in the amount of $363,543.20. Are there any questions? Okay, if none, the next item is the 110 North State Street subdivision and land development. The project was reviewed by the Planning Commission on Monday night. Since this is the first time I believe that council is seeing it, it might be a good idea for the developer to present the plan to you, if that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know the developer is here with his attorney and engineer.
Okay.
So I put up a plan somewhere. Work.
Yes.
Whatever you prefer.
You want them to stand by you, Emily?
Yes,
but
then
you want them to come up? You want to stand up here?
Here or over there? Either side.
What were you saying?
We used to have one, right?
Yeah, they have one. Yeah, they're in the background.
I agree. I didn't know they were coming up. Sorry.
Oh, you did not? Oh.
Okay. We're getting an easel for you.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
What's the name where your problem could be van away?
Wrong.
Would you like them to go through the development, explain it, and then go through the review letters, or just go do a general review of what the development is and leave all the review letters for your regular meeting?
At this point, we haven't had time to review anything. It just was on our table today when we got here. So I'm not sure going into the details at this point would be helpful, because we haven't had time to review anything in terms of the conditions that the Planning Commission is requesting, and et cetera.
Okay.
And that's my feeling, unless anyone else.
I will add something. I haven't had the chance to talk to the applicant's attorney. This was, as you know, we've had a couple of extensions on this one to allow for engineering and zoning and a lot of conversations on this from a staff level. When we initially requested the extension, it went to the February 11th meeting when it was the business meeting.
And now,
as you know, we moved our business meeting back a week. I would recommend to council that we haven't had a chance to see if they'll extend another week to get us to the February business meeting. So even though you haven't had a chance to fully review the Planning Commission's recommendations, I would ask that you feel free to ask as many questions based on this presentation as possible so that you have a good understanding of what's being proposed here.
Okay.
In case we have to act in the next 2 meetings.
Yes.
So before you is a 3-lot subdivision on 110 North State Street. The lot is currently occupied by an existing residential structure, and there's an existing garage and a couple sheds and outbuildings. Our proposal would be to remove the existing garage and outbuildings, expand the existing residential structure, and then subdivide the two or the southern portion of the lot into two residential parks.
Good idea.
We would be bringing a new driveway in that would span between the two new structures to the south and the existing lot. Each lot would have a garage, two-car garage, except for the larger lot would have a 3-car garage. The required parking would be provided outside of the garage because the car does not allow parking in the main garage. So the required amount of parking would be provided outside of the garages, and we have an additional space. So we actually have one more than is required by the zoning one calculations. As part of the development, we'll be putting in at least two streetlights. The Planning Commission said that that area is kind of dark. So as part of the land development or subdivision, we'll be putting in two streetlights. We'll be planting the required street trees, with the exception of, due to the limited frontage we have, we would be asking for a fee in lieu of one of the trees. We just don't have the physical room along the frontage. In the rear, it was requested that we provide some buffering to the park that is back there. So the current plan shows buffering plantings. We just got a determination from the zoning officer that this area is in the floodplain, but those plantings are not considered disturbance. The nice thing about this is we're not disturbing the floodplain in any way. The floodplain, the rear of the lot, you can creep back here. All of our new development is in front of that. There is some existing surfaces that are within the floodplain, but we're not adding to those or anything like that. The plan is about substantially in conformance with our ordinances. There are several or three waivers that we were requesting. But I would say substantially it is in compliance. We went through zoning and we've been through two reviews now with Michelle, and we appeared in front of the Planning Commission. And we have a list of conditions that were issued by the Planning Commission for preliminary plan approval. I'll let our attorney run through those conditions. Is there any questions?
Let me just add a little more background, I guess. So they did make an application to the zoning hearing board because that their first submission, there was disturbance and improvements within the floodplain. The zoning hearing board, I think, denied the request. And so they came back with this second submission, and there are no improvements besides the landscaping that you see on the plan in green within the floodplain at all. And Mr. Richardson talked about the three parking spaces in the back. One of the biggest subjects that we talked about on Monday night is that one of them on this submission, one of those spaces, are deemed to be public parking. So the Planning Commission discussed that at length. Does it make sense to have a public parking space in the back? Does it not make sense? Should there, what kind of signage should there be? And things of that nature. I don't want to speak for the applicant's attorney, but he stated at the meeting that he's going to remove the public parking space in the back. And they needed, they not needed, but they are removing one parking space along State Street, North State Street, and that is why they added that one space in the back.
I'm George Asimos, I'm the attorney for the developer. I just one minor, when Slave Yard listened to how Michelle described that, which is we're not going to remove the space,
right?
We're just going to remove it as designated as a place for the public to park, because we concluded that having the public drive to the back of the lot to park in one space was very impractical, to put it mildly. We didn't think that would work. But we're going to keep the space so that the garage spaces plus the outdoor spaces would, we think, more or less ensure that these residents will never need to use the parking spaces on the street because they will have ample parking on their own lots.
I don't know if anybody has any questions on that, or I just wanted to add one other thing. They are have requested four waiver requests, which were reviewed by the Planning Commission. A chairperson from the Planning Commission is here tonight in case I get anything wrong. Ms. Foley was there also on Monday to clarify anything. Three of the waiver requests, and again, this is a variation from the subdivision land development ordinance, not a zoning ordinance. The Planning Commission decided that they wanted to review them during final plan submission. The fourth waiver request was to have council and the borough review this as a preliminary and final submission, and the Planning Commission recommended approval of preliminary plan only.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, just to add, you know, my one of the other waivers requested was to use an aerial photograph instead of a plan content for the 100 feet around the lot. And the The planning commission and the engineer did not like that, so that waiver is withdrawn. We won't be doing that. We'll be doing the regular planning, plan form. The street trees, I think we resolved that with the approval of the state tree commission with the payment of the annual fees. And the stormwater ordinance is a very, very minor issue, which can be discussed if you wish to.
And one clarification on that,
yeah.
The waiver request for the street trees, they are required to plant 3 street trees along the frontage. They are going to plant 1 tree. A previous review letter from the Shade Tree Commission asked them to change the variety of the tree. They now show the correct variety on the plan. So that leaves 2 other trees that would be needed. 1 tree, they want to use an existing tree. So one can argue that they might need a waiver to use an existing tree. And then the 3rd tree, they're offering a fee in lieu of to plant that 3rd tree.
And that's renewed for that.
So where we are now is that the Planning Commission has come forward with a list of contingencies. And I'm guessing since that meeting was just on Monday, and I might just be guessing that the applicant has not had time to really review all of them and come to some kind of plan moving forward. Is that where we're at?
Yes,
or?
It was really reviewed on Monday night.
Okay, so yeah. is the expectation that council votes on this preliminary plan next week? I'm just trying to get an idea of where we are.
It is, and you can help me out, Greg, it is totally up to council if you wanted to review it for next Wednesday. Review it and let them know how you feel about the items in all of the review letters or any plan changes that they should make.
Okay. Yeah, so,
sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. The planning commission review was extensive. We took a great deal of time, and the chairman hammered out a list of conditions. I tallied them up at some 17 conditions, and they were reviewed in great care at the meeting, and even some by us afterwards, and. You know, we basically find them to be acceptable. Most of them are things that you either normally would do at final plan or because they're minor plan, you know, additions, changes of terms or addition of additional information, which won't change the plan layout. You know, we feel like, well, we could definitely do those between preliminary and final. We'd be happy to do it with the chair or with you review the conditions tonight, or if you don't want to do it tonight, you can do it next week at your meeting if you'd rather. I have a list of them here, and like I said, it was a very thoroughgoing review by the Planning Commission with a lot of discussion, and we're comfortable with the list at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Council, so would you like to go through those tonight, do you want to have time to look through it and go through it next week? Because I know this was just put on your plate tonight. So
can I ask a question of the applicant why my council reviews the list?
Yeah.
I know that it was relayed to me from the planning commission meeting, and I guess it's alluded to in these suggested conditions that the applicant is not interested in establishing an HOA to maintain the common elements and including the stormwater management facilities. Is there a particular reason that the applicant is resistant to the establishment of a HOA in perpetuity?
Yes. Our experience is that 3 lot owners is not enough to have a board and the other trappings of corporate entities. Since we've identified at this point the common obligations that need to be addressed normally by an association is driveway access and maintenance and stormwater system operation and maintenance per the township's ordinance. We feel that can be addressed with a private recorded agreements. The operation and maintenance agreement is per the township ordinance and will be reviewed by the solicitor and will be binding jointly and severally on all 3 lot owners. And the driveway easement is just a shared driveway easement. I actually already prepared a draft because PennDOT asked us for one. And of course, we'll be glad to share that as well. It was mentioned at the last meeting that maybe there might be a shared obligation to take care of the streetlights. If that's not in the ordinance, we could include that in the driveway easement. So it's administrative, you know, to create an association and run it. Most of the time when you have one, people don't pay attention to it anyway. So we figured we'd use the more conventional approach.
Okay.
I think the streetlight should be included in that driveway agreement, and if you can provide that draft at your earliest convenience, I would like to review and offer any comments on that before council takes a vote on the preliminary plan.
Of course, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
So,
question for Greg. Without an HOA, let's say that there is an issue with stormwater and there is an issue with dividing or whatever, the shared driveway, is it assumed that it's a shared, the way that it's set up, they'll be able to remedy that?
In a recorded agreement, it will be for the property owners and all their successors will be bound, and the complication with doing it that way and why I raised the concern is that we will know who owns the property, via tax rolls and deed transfer and whatnot, but there's certain steps that are easier to levy an execution when you have a corporate entity, but it's certainly still enforceable. It's just a little more burdensome on the borough to go after the three participants jointly and severally, depending on how the ownership of this property takes place, whether it's owner occupied or whether some things are rented or owned and rented. Who knows?
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna maybe infer from silence that we need some time to review these and come prepared with any questions you might have next week on the conditions. Is that, I'm getting that vibe.
I think so, yeah.
So in that case, I think next week we'll be able to have a more informed discussion from our side, because we'll have time to review and come up with questions. It might be that we can vote next week after that discussion. Can we determine at that point if we need to have an extent or request an extension from the applicant?
It's one of two things. So we have that. Thank you, George. so we right now the clock is the 11th. So if we aren't comfortable in voting next week, we at least have the work session as a fallback, but we can try to work this out extension wise to the 19th. I will talk to Mr. Asimov after this.
Most of us have reviewed the preliminary plan. It's just the contingencies and the discussion of the planning commission that I think we need to have some time with.
Part of the planning commission discussion was its preliminary approval, only, and they wanted to come back to do final. If we look at it next week, is that still deemed preliminary? It's got to go to planning, and it's going to come back to that.
Well,
I think maybe Michelle can speak to this a little more so, but I think it's telling in the recommendation at the end regarding the stormwater ordinance requirements that as this plan gets revised and continues to evolve after preliminary approval, that it may be that the two-step process might be appropriate based on where the plans are now.
Although that says that the waivers were denied except the preliminary as final, I think the planning commission said that they weren't going to review them and have a decision until the final plan submission for the other three waiver requests. So I think they wanted an additional review of everything. And there was the discussion about the way that the buildings were oriented along the street, and the planning commission felt very strongly that they wanted to see them a certain way. Okay.
Has these plans been updated for that kind of stuff? It's just Monday.
If we vote next week or February, will be just for preliminary.
Okay. We don't have preliminary approval from the planning commission, so we wouldn't ask for preliminary approval.
Right. That's what I mean.
We can't defer that one yet.
Which adds another month.
Which is why you're saying maybe we should vote next week
if we feel the right.
Yeah, our burden is to approve the preliminary plan under the MPC.
There were four waiver requests.
Right.
One was preliminary as final. That is essentially dealt with by recommending preliminary approval only. The second had to do with the street trees,
right,
which we are essentially, we've come to an agreement as to how that would be handled pending final input from the Shade Tree Commission, and go back and they'll provide input. So that's two of them. The other two waivers were aerial photograph in lieu of all of the detailed information. We're recommending at this stage that that be denied. And the final was for stormwater management, 8 hours rather than 24. Again, we're recommending at this stage that we've not done enough homework to allow that waiver, so it be essentially denied at this point in time, but revisited in
with the final. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, any more questions for either the applicant or
Emily, I do have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So the property backs up along Newtown Creek, and the long-term desire of the borough is to have connections along the properties for eventually perhaps a path along the creek back there. And there was some discussion about whether we could ask the applicant for an easement down there along the property. Since they're not going to be providing a parking space, a public parking space on the street for the one that they are eliminating with their driveway, in exchange, can we ask the applicant to consider an easement along the creek bank?
I believe, is my understanding, that was discussed on Monday. Is there,
yes.
Would the applicant like to address that?
Yeah, I'm curious. I apologize. Who was speaking? Was it a council?
Julia Waldorf is a council member.
Okay. Yeah. That came up for the first time at the meeting on Monday night. We would like to know a little more detail about this question, but I will say that we're open-minded about it. If we come back next week and we find that the plan is, you know, moving ahead nicely, and you're, you know, you think we've done a good, and engineers done a good job, then if you can give us a little more detail about what you want, yeah, we're open-minded about it.
I mean, not this. I'm sure Julia has a lot of thoughts on, because this is kind of your pet project. But
it is. Well, yeah, there would, at this point, it would be just a matter of granting the easement. There's no plan yet for what would happen along it, but long term, the desire is that as land along the creek becomes available in one way or another, that the borough would like to have access to it. Not for anything more than a path at this point. I know that people have tried, the current tenants have, or not maybe the current, but one of the previous tenants to this property had created his or her own entrance to the common, which we had to close off because it was right through a garden. I'm sure that people in this property would like to have a nice access to the park, which is right adjacent to you. So if we could talk about it, it sounds like you're open-minded to considering it. We can, in the next, sometime in the near future, put together what we think we'd like to have and then offer it to you. It sounds like maybe we could have a discussion on this.
Thinking of maybe a 10 or 15 foot easement, maybe following the upper bank of the creek or something like that.
Right, right. And the details of which would be worked out, but we just need to have that easement in writing.
If we do agree on that, and it sounds like we could, we could add that as a further condition of preliminary plan approval and then show it in final detail on the final plans with any agreement that we work out with the solicitor's advice.
I think that would be fine.
That would be lovely, yes.
That'd be great too.
All right, well, let's keep that in mind for next Wednesday then.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have just maybe one question to bring up.
This is Chris Bowman, another member of council.
Yeah, we're spread all over the place here, but thank you for coming in. This has to do with the driveway and the parking and just the maneuvering of them. It looks like it's pretty convoluted in terms of the ability of the drivers to be able to get into and out of their parking spaces and come in head first and go out head first. So have you looked at that in terms of the geometry and the radii of turning movements? How can we be sure that these these residents, when they park here, are going to be able to maneuver in and out of there?
So I'll say we did not draw in an actual turning radii template onto the plan. However, I will say that the area is not, while it's convoluted a little bit, it's not abnormal for this kind of development. If so requested, we could probably add the turning templates.
There is enough room.
It would be helpful. Again, I don't have any objection to convoluted. I just want to make sure that everybody can use it.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Any other questions from council tonight? Any other?
I'm sorry. I have one other. Is it your intent to have do any of these residents have porches on them?
As currently configured, I wouldn't call it necessarily a porch. It's a slight recess in the front facade of the house to permit the basically front step and stoop. But no, I wouldn't necessarily call it a porch. There is a small, I guess, porch, if you want to call it that, on the existing structure. But I would call any three of them a porch.
Is there a second story deck or anything over the garage, or is that, I mean, we don't have architecturals, but.
For the proposed garage?
Yes.
I haven't seen architecturals yet for those.
So these are just concept boxes at this point then?
The footprints are pretty set, but you know, the facades are.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Nothing else.
All right, and we will see you guys next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it's on Wednesday.
Yes.
At the Chancellor's Desk. What goes off well for Tuesday? Yeah. Thank you for coming.
If any questions come up in the meantime, please feel free to reach out to us.
We will. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
That was all part of my report, unless anybody has questions.
Any questions for Michelle or Mr. Report? Almost done in the nick of time?
Yes.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Mr. Mayor?
I have nothing to report for this meeting.
Wow.
Okay.
First time in a
while. Got all your events done in December.
I was just looking at that, though, when you reminded the Wednesday meeting. Mm-hmm. We have a fire meeting in Northampton with Friar.
I know nothing about that.
The fire meeting, right?
I know nothing about that.
You responded. Oh, you know who you responded. You and I responded back and forth.
Was I copied on that email?
But it's at British five
later today. Oh,
I haven't looked since.
But it's at five, so we should. Yeah, because it's
not here. It's
Wednesday meetings are at 7.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll have to check my email. But it was later this afternoon.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then I haven't checked it since lunch. Okay.
All right.
All right, Greg.
I'm going to go in reverse order on the agenda because I think that
I was going to actually have you switch. So good.
And I'm sorry. May I interject? There was one thing I wanted to bring up. I am sorry. That came up after my engineer's report. As part of the state in court development, they are required to plant 4 trees off-site of that development. And they are getting near the completion of that development. So if the borough knows of a location where they want 4 trees to be planted, please let me know.
You want to ask Ted? We'll get the Shade Tree Commission on it.
There we go.
They're not street trees. Shade Tree Commission is a street tree committee, right?
But I still think Ted probably has the best idea of where they can go.
I didn't know if you wanted them in a public park, too.
Well, so they can be right. They could be shade, they could be park, they could be anything, or they have to be park.
In a park, I would say, in the open space.
They have to be in an open space.
No, they could be, well, they could be anywhere they could be anywhere you want. Let me say it that way. If they're on a private property, you should get, you know, permission from that property owner. But usually it is on borough-owned property or right away.
Right. So if there was a particular street that was treeless, we could certainly use the allocation to add to the street stock. If
Ted wants to.
I think that's
part of
itself.
Michelle, we lost the number of trees along the Town Creek down by the municipal lot because of the loss of several ash trees. So Ted may know that there are some open spaces down in that, and that's borough owned.
Okay, so I just need to know the four locations if people want to contact Ted, or I don't know if Craig wants to contact Ted or Gail.
She's liaison to Shade Trees.
Okay, good.
What area are you talking about?
At the Commons?
No, not at the Commons. Basically, along the municipal lot, down along the creek. Ted's going to know where we need trees, and also maybe not in the Common. Common doesn't have any room, and Patriots Park doesn't have any room. But it could be that there are places in Brian Gregg Park that could use a tree. So I would talk to Ted.
Okay. So you will coordinate with Ted and then let Craig and I know. Perfect. Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you. Sorry, Craig.
As a segue, I would not recommend the outfield of Pickering.
Yeah. So
I'll start with the CRNAA. So we discussed some options at the last work session. I think council wanted to take a little time to make sure they were comfortable with the language. I know in the interim, CRNAA took it to their board and they said, sure. So based on that, I just wanted to see if there was anything else from council on that. If there's not, we will get an agreement in final form for council approval that we will send an amendment to CRNAA for formal approval, not just of concept language, but of actual agreement for execution, and then bring it to council for approval on an agenda and execution. But I think I do think everybody's pretty comfortable, but we wanted to send it to CRNAA. They obviously acted quickly. Is council good? Should we move forward with putting it in formal status or?
I'm fine. Yeah. We were just waiting on their input, and if they're good, I'm good.
Okay. So we'll do that. I'll draft it. We'll send it to CRNAA for them to approve it formally, and then we'll bring it back to council once they have it approved and executed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My favorite.
Do you have anything to add? You good with that? Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I just was here, so I thought I was.
Sorry. It's all so right. Hard with my back to everybody.
I mean, a tree in the apple could be interesting.
It's like the slight slope in what a Minute Maid Park is. The one that's always on my report, but I have nothing to say on it yet, is the comments on the mobile food vendor ordinance update. I did notice that Julia added something to the share file recently, but so I'll defer to Julia on any, and Josh, I guess, on any updates on survey or scheming on the food ordinance, mm-hmm. food truck ordinance.
This is for Josh.
The good kind of scheming, by the way.
Oh, okay. So that, per my knowledge, none of the businesses have reported back any information or additional details. I did speak individually to some folks, and I think we're moving in the right direction. I think it's about limiting the times and the hours of having food trucks in the borough. I think having them more for special events is probably where they're headed. But other than that, I haven't heard any other kind of feedback on it. So do other counselors have any comments as well on the template?
It's this one, right?
Yeah. Did anyone have anything that they looked over and they were like, oh, that sounds like a good idea, or I don't agree, or?
A small minor, and I know this goes back and forth a lot. On the residential ones, we said there's no, you can't have it in the street. There's some houses that don't have driveways. So where else are you going to put a food truck? And I've been to places on Penn Street where it's right in front of the house. It's not bothering anybody else. I mean, if you feel strongly about it,
I agree with you.
You don't have a driveway, you have no place to put your food truck.
And I kind of feel like, I also agree, I think that sort of limits who can and can't have a food truck
from a driveway perspective.
But I think that when we were talking about this, and Julia, you could probably speak to this better, but I think Julia's concern was that we also have residences on State Street that don't have driveways. And so that's sort of the, but my question is, could we not just word it and say it does not apply like to residents in the business district, like on State Street? Or
which I
like
thought
that.
You did, but
yeah,
okay. Maybe I didn't understand.
Yeah, I mean, this is all about safety regulation. Like, right. This isn't a zoning ordinance. This is a safety ordinance. So, if you wanted to carve out certain areas, I mean, using the zoning ordinance as a framework, which we do, the zoning districts, DCV 1, V2, V1, V2, we may be able to use that because they are fairly focused districts to say, you know, it can't be on a street in these districts, but it can be on a street in these districts if that's the direction council wants to move in. Mm-hmm. When we started this conversation back, I don't even know anymore, June, the concept was that the initial concept was no food trucks on any street across the board. Mm-hmm. And so it was always a parking on private property ordinance. Then we got into the whole public street conversation. Now we've gone back on that, which is good, all well and good. So it's really just a question of where you deem it to be safe and appropriate to have a food truck parked on the street. I would also recommend that you have, whether it's Chief Sabbath or Chief Forsyth, weigh in as to the proximity of other vehicles or passing, or if there are certain streets in the borough that having a food truck of that size is just not appropriate. Because the streets aren't consistent,
which is why I said take it out. Do not allow it on any street for residents. The residential permit can't have the food truck on the street. It becomes complicated. Where's the fire hydrant? Where's this? Where's that? And then you've got to go all this stuff about, you know, the neighbors can't park there, and kind of safety. Do you have for people who are lining up or whatever, it becomes too complicated. And then we're back to the whole stuff that we started out originally about all the regulations you had to have in terms of a food truck if it was on the street. So I would say if we're going to allow residents to have food trucks, it needs to be on private property.
So, but then to push a little bit back on that, I would wonder if it's safer to put a food truck on the street versus in between two houses. Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have to worry about people entering in the street, blocking a sidewalk, or you know, or you just don't allow residents to have food trucks. That would solve that altogether.
Now, I know it's not on this outline, but if in the in the initial framework there were setbacks from any structures,
yeah,
right. So you wouldn't be parking it between, like, you know, on some of the streets where you could pull it up between two twins that are only 12 feet apart, we wouldn't have that issue. But
I viewed this chart as parameters set within what was on the previous ordinance. Like, we're keeping that. We're keeping all the safety setbacks. We're like, so I look at it like I was looking at this through that lens. So I that's all still applicable. They can't just put it anywhere.
Right. We didn't get that thought. Yeah.
I don't think we'll be making any friends if we preclude residents without driveways or the right property size from having a food truck at their private event. I think it's not fair, quite frankly. And I think if we're going to allow them on private property, we need to realize that a good portion of this town doesn't have a property size or driveway that could allow that. And I think we need to make sure that they are treated equally.
Can I ask council's thoughts on if you have a driveway, it should be parked in the driveway, but if not, it's subject to the safety approval
depends on the safety setback.
The police.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If it's safe to park it in the driveway, it should be in the driveway. And then the street parking thing is going to be dependent on whether the police and the fire marshal or fire chief determine that it's safe to park it there, because you may have someone in a twin or just a small lot that has a fire hydrant in front of them.
Yeah.
And then we don't want to create a situation where they're parking it in front of their neighbor. Right. So we, there needs to be some flexibility, but I would recommend you that there maybe be some type of encouragement to get them off the street if possible. Mm-hmm. That would be my recommendation.
So but if you're going, if you're going back to saying, well, you can't have it in a, in one of, in like the TC district or the business district. So you're eliminating a lot of people right there. So I don't think it's a matter of fair or not fair. I mean, if you have a small lot, you can't do certain things. You can't have a chicken coop if your lot is small. You know, you have to have, you have to meet whatever requirements are required to have a food truck. I'm really leery about having them on the street because that's how we got started in this whole thing anyway, and determined that having them on the street was not a good idea. So whether you're a resident, it's still
in the business district. The whole problem with having them on the street was specifically the business district.
So you can eliminate the business, the business district, right? So anyone, and there are a lot of homes on the business district, so you're eliminating all of them, right? And then you have the B1, you have a business, you have another business district, you know. So, and I mean, residents are allowed in all the districts in town. So,
But if you do it the other way around and you go with the requirements of the driveway, then it's even less people, even fewer people are able to have food trucks. Like, so it really excludes most of the town from being able to have a food truck.
So there you go.
Because of the driveway and the parameters and all that, I would think. I don't think I could have a food truck.
Yeah. Well, I, you know.
You have a driveway.
I have a driveway, so.
And it's not like we're saying anybody on any street like can just put a food truck wherever they want on the street. It's going to be set up to certain parameters, approvals.
Each permit has to be
reviewed. Yeah, each permit has to be reviewed, so.
Case by case.
Yeah.
So I personally would like to see a draft ordinance that includes that allows that, that has language that allows street parking in residential areas. I think the majority
overlay area, like,
but not in the business district.
Oh right.
Yeah. Correct.
So I'm sorry.
We're not good.
So from my understanding as the non-resident, the business district would essentially be the TC, the V2, and the B1. So State Street below Green, right? Because above Green we're that's a fairly residential part of State Street. And then I guess the question is, what else council considers the business district? It would encompass Washington up until Liberty Street. So I mean, is that pretty all encompassing then for what we consider the business district?
Well, you have businesses all along North State Street. You have a number of them, including the ice cream store that came in and was vehemently against having food trucks.
Do we have to limit it to our currently existing zoning areas, or can we just say create our own food truck?
We can say cannot be parked it can be kind of like the parking ordinance where food trucks cannot be parked on state between, you know, the borough line and Jefferson, and cannot be parked on Penn from state to Congress.
I would rather look at it from that viewpoint than our currently existing.
And as long as there's a consistent character of the blocks that you are designating,
right,
that this cannot be conducted on.
It's not like we're doing State Street and then like Elm Avenue from
right. You can't say that you know someone on the block of Chancellor between Washington and Center who's going to have a food truck all the time, so you say it can't be there. There should be a consistent character to the streets you're designating. So I would say moving forward, maybe page 2 of the template, that we start identifying areas that we do not believe are appropriate, or what the character of the areas are that aren't appropriate for this regulation. It's not a zoning regulation, so we're not applying the same standard, but there still needs, it can't be arbitrary.
it needs to have some type of basis, rational basis, in justifying the regulation by council.
So, are there any other areas of this document that council has questions, concerns, comments about, or is this something with in addition to the discussion we've had tonight that Greg can kind of run with to come up with a draft ordinance?
So I was hoping to kind of come up with some around like the numbers. Mm-hmm. I think
okay.
Like hours, like how many hours for residents, how many hours for a business, you know, that kind of thing. And then how many times can you apply for this permit? Because that's even, I think that that's a big one for me in terms of thinking about reducing the number of food trucks, but yet allowing the opportunity for everyone or as many folks to participate as wanted. So.
So you said the hours, the number of times you can apply for a permit, what was the
within thing? A year. Yeah. And then number of hours it can be there. Oh, and then the number of trucks. Like, so for example, we have a different number of trucks for businesses versus like for a resident, just maybe one truck, right? Like you would limit it, like you can have one truck. So yeah.
Yes. That would also be my recommendation.
So, but do businesses need four trucks? No, I mean, I'm thinking.
Well, it's right. Applied for a variance, like, right? It's a big event. They need four trucks.
Right.
I mean, it depends. If like a business that has their office at the Stocking Works wants to have like an employee appreciation day, they certainly have room for four food trucks in that parking lot. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
So the way the framework of the ordinance is designed is you need to have a safe area to have those trucks. On an approved site plan. So a small lot is not going to have the room for four trucks. It's almost self-limiting. And then you just put a cap. So if you look at your largest commercial property with off-site parking, envision how many trucks you think would be appropriate there and have that be your cap. But the rest in the review process of the site plan, and we have to, at some point, as we refine this, I would recommend in the borough, we specifically define who is going to be doing that review, considering that we have finite resources. And I think it should be specifically designated. They look at that plan and say, okay, they should, and it's usually the fire marshal, whoever handles those responsibilities. Yeah, we need to have truck space to be safe X number of feet apart. And we need to have so much space for a car to bypass and circulate and people to stand and all those things that I'm sure are, you know, what keeps Chief Sabbath up at night that need to be considered. So it becomes self-limiting. Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the questions you want answered, so for me, I'm hours of operation across the board, I think five is adequate for any situation. And I think as long as the hours are with hours of operation are within the noise ordinance, I'm fine with whatever they are.
So I changed the one for residents to like 10 a.m.
I mean,
like lowering it for residents because it's in a residential area. I know our noise.
Is it just because of noise?
Yes.
Well, I mean, our noise ordinance is 8 a.m. So I don't see why this, I mean, for me, I don't see why it would be any different. What's the difference between a food truck and a gas-powered leaf blower?
Well, we can take that up.
And then as far as maximum number of trucks, I'm fine with 1, 4, and 4.
Okay.
As far as maximum number of permits for calendar year, I'm fine with 2 for residents. Well, I'm fine with 2 for residents. The one about the business, I could see that being more than 4, because I mean, even if we have 12, that's once a month. I'm not saying you need to go to 12, but I'm saying I think 4 is very limiting.
So you're saying the maximum number of permits, not
per year. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
So the whole thing is that we did not want having food trucks to be an extension of a business. That's the complaint we got from the business district. And I think that it needs to be for a special event. So when Josh and I were putting this chart together, we said, well, so someone, you know, a business wants to have some kind of special event, you would assume that it would be seasonal. And so 4 seemed like a reasonable number. If you're getting to more than that, then you're having someone bringing in an extension to their business, and then you're going to run into the problem with the competition with State Street businesses that exist. And then that we don't want to do. We don't want to make it difficult for people who are trying to run a conventional business that every week or once every other week, there's a competing business in town. I'm going to run into that same problem again.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I noticed that it says site plan required for permit, no for the residential permit section. So I guess I'm just asking why. I think a site plan can be a hand drawing on where they determine to do it with measurements that documents this in some way, that a permit is issued for you to put this here.
Okay.
I would be a little leery of not asking someone to at least sketch it out.
Yeah, show if they have a driveway or not, or how far.
And putting it all on the reviewing person to go to the Google, go to the site, et cetera, to determine if what's true and what's not based on the representations. But
yeah, I think it was just, yeah.
It doesn't have to be overburdensome. And I think whoever, whether it's Craig, Judy, whoever comes in to say, hey, I want a food truck, we hand it out, they can say, this is the permit application, you're planning on doing your residence, it can be hand-drawn. Just give us an idea of where you want to park it, any of the concerning things, like, do you have a fire hydrant on your property? That type of things, and,
a checklist or something.
Yeah, and that can all be developed administratively. Yeah. But I think there needs to be some type of drawing so people are thinking through the process of it.
Well, that's okay. We just didn't want them to feel like they had to get a professionally engineered, signed, sealed measurement.
And would the permit then guarantee them that they would have that spot marked off if we allow it on a street, that they would get a designated spot for in front of their home so nobody else would park there for that?
If that was their layout, probably.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
how would they request? Do we issue anything now for like moving trucks or?
Typically, yeah. Somebody will come in a few days before and give us the appropriate dates that they're looking for, and then we have them post the signs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The same thing.
I did that when I moved here.
Oh.
So if you've designated on your hand-drawn site plan that you're going to put on the street, when your permit's issued, we could also provide a no parking sign that should be erect, that must be up 3 days before your event so people are aware. That can all be administrative.
Okay. Yeah.
We're not getting to that granular detail.
Right.
Okay. Do you feel like you have enough to go for
three? No, absolutely. I'll put something. I'll revise the framework ordinance with these new and to streamline what we need to streamline and change what we need to change here to get it for February work session.
Sure.
Okay.
Greg, would it be easier if Josh and I send you a marked up something? To show, like, with all the changes to the permit type.
How about this? How about I put together a draft and then I circulate it to the subcommittee to review prior to with a week in advance of the February work session, so that you can offer comments back before we discuss it again. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So I will get that to you by committing to things here by the 29th.
Thanks.
And my last one. Are we good on food trucks? Anything else?
Mm-hmm. I
think so. I'm not usually my reports don't usually go this long. The last is actually a motion. This was discussed previously to authorize my office to execute the stipulation to settle the
appeal of the decision for 401 South Street. Just to reiterate for the public, this would permit them to do an extension of the existing building into the rear yard. And it would also require them to ensure that an additional parking space was added to accommodate the additional square footage being added to the property. So I would ask that someone make the motion.
I'd like to make a motion to authorize the solicitor to execute the stipulation for agreed order of court to settle the appeal of the Zoning Hearing Board decision for 401 South State Street by Anthony and Julie M. Petsis.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Any additional comments or questions from council? Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Thanks, Craig.
Thank you.
All right, Craig.
Okay, we recall the Frost Lane sidewalks, a grant application that was awarded, and we've been working on the designs for that. Back in June, we had a public meeting for residents on Frost Lane. The sidewalks will just be on the north side of the street, which is the borough side, unusually, but that's the way the boundary is. And since that time, and we received feedback and incorporated some of that as appropriate into the designs, which have been moving along in Michelle's office. They are, for all intents and purposes, complete and ready to go out for bid. One thing that we have not done, which is to inform the residents that there's been an add-on their project, which is the aprons, mm-hmm. the concrete aprons. We approved putting them and extended the fees associated with that to Michelle's office to build them into the design. It seems to me that we still need to notify the residents of that change. We could have another in-person meeting, but because I think it's probably not controversial, although it could be for one or two, we just notify them by way of a letter and offer myself to hear the feedback from them before we would put it out to bid. Unless there's any other suggestions about how to manage that communication piece, we would be looking forward to, I don't know if we do a motion to put something out to bid or just let council know that it'd be going out to bid. But,
authorization to advertise.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, yeah. So that would be coming up in the next meeting or two.
Okay. I'm fine with you sending the letter as long as it's clear that if they need to talk or anything, you're here.
Okay. All right. Okay. Great. All right. So look for that action item soon. Get that out for a bit.
Okay. That's all you have on here, but I just had a question.
Sure.
Do we know, we're about a week and a half into the bridge closure. Do we know if it's on schedule, behind schedule?
I have not heard anything. I can reach out. I know it was up to 3 weeks,
right.
Was my recollection. So we are 1 week into that, given the weather, if anything is behind, but I can check and by the next meeting have an update.
And also, can you ask the township to put cones in the left turn lane on Sycamore? Because every time I drive by there, I see someone trying to turn left on the center and it's closed.
Cones at Sycamore left side.
Yeah.
And Craig, I'll ask on the bidding issue. Sarah is actually our resident bidding person. So with getting all those specs and getting that out there, we'll be over the threshold. She can help you out, and I'll make sure you have her email address.
Thank you.
Question I had a resident ask me, with this project, there's a generator that's run over, do they have temporary lights out there? Is that what the generator is for?
I've not seen that. No. I haven't been there at night.
Okay. I'll go by there. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Craig?
That's all.
All right. Thanks. So I only have one thing under my report, and that is to remind you guys about annual reports from your committees. Some of them are outlined what needs to be done in the ordinance. Some are not, but there are previous versions, previous years on share file. We would like to have them all in the, within the first quarter of the year. Doesn't always happen. Sometimes you have to ask again and again. But so take a look about annual reports for your committees. And let me or Craig know if you have any questions. Okay, Tina.
We still have a few openings on some committees. The Human Relations Commission in particular has a number of openings. So that's the challenging one to try and find.
I've talked to a couple of folks.
Okay. The Planning Commission has an opening. I've actually communicated with somebody who applied to the Zoning Hearing Board for that alternate position, but because he was on another committee, there is a rule that says you cannot even be an alternate or on the Zoning Hearing Board if you are on another committee. And since that person is in fact on another committee until the end of this year, I sort of questioned him about whether he wants to maybe look at the Planning Committee because his background would, you know, line up with that. So I haven't heard back from him. Civil Service Commission, we just need an alternate for that as well. And Tim Jones did throw his hat in for the Walk Friendly Newtown Committee. So we're happy to have him on board. So we're getting there.
All right, great. So does that only one member then left for Walk Friendly, or is it still two?
Yeah, it's still two. Okay. All right. I wasn't sure. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Gina. Mm-hmm. Hey, any old business? Any announcements? Public to be heard? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
She's starting to move and still it's only not an hour.
I don't know.